Oh, this is Darren Kiribata, and welcome to the fourth episode of the Student Voices podcast. In this episode, I'm interviewing three young men, Justice, Lawrence, and Richard, who have recently finished their Developing Expert Voices project. They were so excited, and there was so much buzz in the class, in particular, about their project, and mostly coming from them. But they went so far as to generate a poster, and they were really talking it up with their friends, and they were so proud of what they had done. I felt it would be really fascinating to capture their thoughts on the process and what they produced. And it was really interesting. In particular, they talk about three things that struck me. One was the way their sense of teaching has evolved, where they talk about how they had originally thought they would just give audio explanations of problems, and in the end they found that that didn't work, and the thinking that they do afterwards about what that means for how they learn best and what would what that means for teaching as well. The second thing that struck me about their podcast was their sense of audience. They knew that they were developing something for the class and for me as their teacher, but because it was being published online, that influenced somewhat the way they put together their presentation. And lastly, the kind of incidental learning that came about as a result of their working on this project. They also gave me some great suggestions for how to do this better next time. So give it a listen and let us know what you think. Without any further ado, here they are, Justice, Lawrence, and Richard. I use Audacity. I understand from reading your DV that you guys dig Audacity big time.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to Lawrence and Richard and Justice, who put together. Now, you did your Developing Expert Voices project using the Xbox, right?
Yes.
And so there was. I wanted to and just the kind of buzz in the classroom, like in the last couple of days, as you guys started publishing it, was like just. I mean, it was great. Like, you're so excited and enthusiastic. Like, man, you got to check this out. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Like, first, why the Xbox? Like, how did this happen?
Well, first, I kind of came up with the idea. Me and Justice were talking about how Master Chief, they were genetically enhanced when they were... It's in the storyline. But we were originally going to do a story about how he was enhanced using math.
Yeah.
But we figured that would be a bit difficult, so we went for a more classroom-oriented kind of setting. But that also proved to be time-consuming, so we cut it down to the three episodes that we had you set us out to do some questions. Okay. So.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm a character in the story.
Yeah.
Okay. We just kind of winged the whole story
when
we started recording. Because I do, well, not a whole lot, but I've done quite a bit of video editing and stuff. And, like, I play Halo 3, which is a game we did it in, and Richard does also. And, well, Lawrence doesn't, but he knows of it, and he has played. And so, like...
He's certainly played now.
Yeah. Like, what are we going to do this project in? Like, it's going to be innovative, and everybody's done videos, so let's not just do a normal video. And I'm like, hey, well, I've done videos in Halo before, so let's do that. And then we just kind of went from there and ended up with this.
So what did you do? Was that a screen capture as you were watching
Halo? Yeah, I have a capture card. And, like, in the game, there's a theater mode where it takes all the game data and then replays it back to you, and then so you can do different camera angles and pause it and fast forward and go slow motion and whatever. And then that makes it a lot easier, because before you just had to record as it happened, and then if you missed something, well,
too bad.
You missed it.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So that's one of the reasons we picked Halo, because it's one of the only games that has that feature, and then that made it extremely easy to edit and put video together and everything like that.
Okay. So I was reading your reflections. And I was struck by the comment. All of you basically say that you felt like you learned a lot from this assignment.
Yeah, we definitely did.
So, like, if you had to break it down, like, how much of the assignment do you think spent really working on the math and working on the presentation? Like, which was more time intensive for you?
I think, like, just thinking about it now, I'd say the working on the video itself was the most time intensive, but most of the thought went into, like, doing the math.
Okay.
Like, easily, I probably put, like, 40 hours into the video editing altogether.
Yeah, right.
Like, minimum, easy.
Yeah.
But that was, 40 hours of mindless, like, click, 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 click.
And then there's
drag.
Audio.
And then the math, it was, like, probably quite a few hours. I couldn't give you a rough estimate, but a lot. And it was all, like, oh, I gotta how am I going to put this together? And, oh, no, that's not right, so we got to fix this. And
yeah, and all the
so
different...
Like, that was the intense hour work that went into the math questions. Even though it might not have been as long, like, in my mind, they kind of scale to be the same.
Okay. So you feel about 50-50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. And what about you, Richard? How did you feel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, in terms of the presentation and time spent on math, how do you feel the division of labor went for you?
Well, I think we spend more time video, as Justice said, but then when you think about like how hard the question was, like scale, like the math and then the video, and then even it out with the time consuming, it's pretty much equal.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that the video was more time consuming, but the math part was the harder part?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You all say in your reflection, all of you say that you've learned a lot about from doing this project, and all of you say that you did choose topics that were not your strengths.
No.
Mm-hmm. Were not your strengths. Is that still true? Are those issues still your weak points? Or had, like, part of the purpose of the assignment is kind of to turn weaknesses into strengths. Did that happen for you?
Well, yeah, that's basically what happened. We I took a unit that I particularly wasn't so good in, and now that I've done it, I understand it a lot more, so when we do have to do it, I can have confidence in doing it, no problem.
Okay. Was that the same feeling you had, Justice?
Yeah, I felt like, I don't think that they're still like my best, but I definitely understand a lot more aspects of them, and I see them in a new light, which I kind of put in my reflection, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So like, they might not be my best stuff still, but it's definitely not my worst anymore, okay. And I see them a lot better.
And what about you, Rich?
Pretty much took my whole answer.
Wow.
So I have to start asking you before Justin. Okay, so now all of you say in the reflection that you got value out of doing this assignment.
Yeah, definitely.
So now if you were, I've already started planning for next year. So, which is good, because based on how you guys conclude the...
Yeah.
I'm not going to give that away in the podcast. I'm just going to say, go see the conclusion.
Yeah.
So that they understand why that's relevant. But so as I'm planning for next year, my question, of course, is, like, is this something I should do again? Like, in your opinion, is this a worthwhile learning experience? Or is it just not enough bang for the buck?
Well, no.
I think it definitely is.
It's definitely helpful.
We just have to spend more time doing it.
Yeah, like, we started a little bit late,
yeah.
And so
we started planning about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but we never actually got down to actually working on it in the last, like, 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we were probably planning more like a month and a half, but we didn't start really working on it until about 3 weeks ago, and even so, that was, like, here and there.
Right.
And then within the last 2 weeks, it was, like, every day, like, 5 hours.
Yeah, we actually ended up staying at Richard's house till about 12 o'clock twice. And my mom's calling me. She's like, where are you? I'm like, oh, I'm still finishing my project.
Not a project.
And she's like, are you sure it's a project? You're just not at Richard's house partying? And I'm like, no, it's a project. I'll show you when it's done.
Did you show her?
Not yet. She's been busy right now. But yeah, I definitely will. Otherwise, I'm pretty much grounded for life.
You have to justify the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely underestimated how long it would take to do everything.
It took, like, the hard parts more lately.
The hard part you took?
Yeah, we thought that...
We thought, like, the solution, oh, it's going to be easier.
Yeah, we...
Talking to
we,
the library.
Yeah, that's,
like, wait, that's
what we're
really
doing.
Hard to follow
and,
when you started doing it.
Yeah, I did... I was the only one that recorded.
Yeah.
I was the only one that recorded the solution, and it was about 10 minutes in length just talking it.
Yeah.
So to actually follow that was going to be a hard thing to do. So
right. We
decided that we're just going to have it as a well-defined blog post.
Kind of like a scribe post.
Okay.
And it fully goes through every step that's taken so that the student or whoever is viewing it can take their time and understand what we're trying to say.
Okay.
Yeah, because we previously had, like, pre-recorded solutions that we had done,
mm-hmm.
And it was just going to be...
Also done via video.
Yeah, but, like, also done Halo again, and so it'd just be, like, the character walks in, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'll be walking you through these solutions, and it'd be, like, a 3-minute video, and just kind of random walking around doing whatever.
Right.
And then they're going through, and then we'd insert pictures wherever needed. And then when we started doing that, we're like, okay, this isn't easy to follow at all.
It's not
like even for like the identity question, which isn't especially hard, but like you kind of, it's like cosine x squared sine x plus 6 x squared, so sine cosine is like, what are you saying?
exactly. In that event, we would have had to record first and then build the video around it, which we didn't have time
for. So like, okay, we'll just scrap all that and just do it like this, which we know works.
See, I find that fascinating because like what I'm hearing you say is that an explanation to a problem or whatever it might be is just listening to it, it's too confusing.
Yeah.
Right? You really kind of have some, you need some kind of paced visual.
Yeah. Unless you hear everything.
That the learner controls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless you remember everything you hear the first time, which is pretty much impossible.
Right.
You're not going to be able to do that. That's like taking the exam and like solving it by someone just announcing it.
Right. Just reading out the question.
Yeah, question A.
Blindfolded.
Exactly. That's pretty much it.
That's a good description. So, okay. So now, what does that mean? I think, so what does that mean for about us teaching and learning in class? Like, right? Because obviously just hearing an explanation is no good. Like you decided, right? As you're working through and you know you have to create something that educates. So you say, well, that's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? So, what's your experience been like in the past? Like how in math anyways, how are things explained to you?
Well,
how do you learn it best?
Okay, so like ever since kindergarten, grade one, the teacher would give you an equation. They'd give you a question and they'd say, go solve it. And as you progress through junior high and high school, they just make, it's just a little variation of what everybody else was doing. So they're like, oh, here's a value. This is how you substitute it. They don't really tell you why it happens, but they just say, this is math.
Okay.
So.
Has that been your experience, Richard?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah? The same?
That was basically the exact same thing like through my schooling experience until I got into your class, which, like I said before, I guess is some accolades to you. Because like previously it was just, here's an equation, solve it this way, do it like this, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But then after being in this class, it's kind of, it shows you why, and then you get a larger and better understanding of it. And like saying stuff and seeing it at the same time is different than just hearing it.
Okay.
So like working with the smart board or whiteboard or whatever is well, like showing a visual and an auditory works well. And normally it was either one or the other in previous courses. So like, I guess it, I feel it kind of be the same for all of us being in your class this semester.
Yeah.
That after we had seen that you could learn this way, that it was kind of hard to go back to the other way. We're like, hey, this is far superior, so we can't go backwards.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Well, thank you.
It's like evolution. You don't evolve forward, then devolve.
Yeah.
Forward.
It doesn't make sense. So.
It doesn't make sense. So.
So okay, well, that's interesting. So what is it? What do I do differently? Like what?
What do you do?
Yeah.
You tell us not to memorize the equation. That's basically it. You tell us how to derive it without using an equation.
Like why
it's
is
like,
this is what you do.
It's like having directions to a place. It's not like you have a magic teleporter and you just end up there. You'd have directions.
Right.
I was going to say something about a rainbow bridge.
Rainbow bridge. Cross the rainbow bridge. Traverse New York and get the Teenage Mutant news. Yes.
I think what you do differently is like... Oh my goodness. but yeah, I think what you do differently, it's like, it's more interesting and you actually want to remember it when you know why it happens. Because it's not just like Lauren said about directions, it's not just go down this street and you end up there. You know why you're doing it and then it becomes pertinent, it's important. It's not just something to do, like it has meaning now.
Okay.
So then it sticks better.
Yeah,
for me anyway.
That's basically what happened to me this year. Math has meaning this year.
Math has
before
meaning.
I'd be like, you know what, it's just math. It's a bunch of numbers that you play with, but now it actually has meaning.
Yeah, now you know why everything that happens.
Aside from, of course, physics. But.
And then in that understanding, you can apply it into other things, which I always think is interesting, being able to actually use calculus or pre-cal in real life.
Like numbers?
I think you're going to like calculus. Calculus has got... There's lots of cool stuff you can do with calculus.
And laptops, Richard.
Desktops.
Yeah. We didn't do that part of the video.
Yeah, we were going to do that for the video. Our conclusion was originally you're going to ask us for if we're going to join AP Calculus.
Yeah.
And we were going to...
Me and Lawrence
that,
were going to be
that
like, yeah,
moment,
sure.
That moment you saw us in a group huddle, we were going to be just talking amongst each other. Then we're going to be, yeah, sure. Then Richard would be like, I don't know. And then you'd be like, there's laptops. And Richard says, I'm down.
So I started coaching up.
Yeah, and Richard's like, I'm down. He's like, yeah, sure. And then like, we're like, okay. But we decided through improv that we'll just
That's
leave it as
we'll
a
do.
Cliffhanger and say that, oh, if you want to see this, come to next year's class.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of a bonus for you because that'll get you.
Yeah.
The funny thing about the music is that Justice just threw it in there from when you were missing.
Okay.
And then when we were getting to you, it eventually climaxed to the point where you asked the question, like, what are the chances of that?
I didn't actually like purposefully edit it that way.
Yeah.
It just happened
that it climaxed
like, oh,
when you asked the question, and it's like, wow.
That's fantastic.
And then when the video ends, the music just happens. Well, actually, he edited that.
To trail off.
It just
trails
off.
Yeah, I had to edit that a bit, but for the most part, it was like 100% unscripted that it happened like that.
Yeah, everything via like audio,
mm-hmm.
all of that was improv. There was no scripting whatsoever.
Yeah.
So you guys used Audacity to do the audio, right?
Yes.
How did you find out about Audacity? Because I don't remember.
Eric.
The guy who's with Mr. K.
Yeah.
He surfs the net so much.
He's our computer guy.
Yeah, he's our computer guy.
And he knew about Audacity?
Yeah. Like, I'd heard about it before because I've done a little bit of, like, music production and stuff, but
right.
I never really used it.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, isn't this, like, a recording program? But I didn't worry about it. And then Eric came, he's like, why are you doing this? You should be using this. And then he, like, got it all set up on an actual computer. Like, wow, this is far superior. So
He even set up the scanner for us to scan our solutions.
Yeah, he's our computer guy.
He's our technician.
Yeah, I saw the thanks to him in the credit.
Yeah,
he'll go in the credit reel, which I'm finishing. So.
That kind of made him want to be in our class, but for some reason he didn't.
He didn't
do grade 11 pre-calc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stopped after grade.
And like he has like a 99 in applied right now, which I don't know why he's not in pre-calc.
Yeah.
he's a weird guy.
Maybe I'll see him next year and apply. But, okay, so I'm going to wind it up because our podcast is getting a little bit long, which is fine. It's all good stuff. I guess the last thing I wanted to ask you is I heard you guys say that you got a lot out of the assignment, that you would recommend it to students in the future. You recommend that I do it again in terms of working with my students in my classes. It was educationally valuable to you. Was it valuable to you in other ways besides mathematics?
Organization
skills and teamwork.
Because we had to set out like a timeline to kind of make sure you got everything done.
Yeah.
Because you can't just like record and edit. You have to record all the video, then cut out video that you're not going to use,
right.
Then edit it together, then add music, then add voiceovers, and then go over everything and make sure it's good.
Yeah.
And so you have to do it like step by step. So we kind of sorted out a timeline in the beginning, and it didn't really get stuck too well.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Like, it was very loose, so, like, it definitely helped with that, because we were like, okay, for now on, timelines, deadlines,
start right away.
Admins.
We'll make our deadlines, like, earlier than what the actual deadline is, just so that
you
actually
a lot
get
of
it
time.
Done. Yeah.
Because, I mean, the last thing I wanted to ask was, like, how do we make this better? Like, what advice would you give to me, or perhaps to future students or even your future selves so that this goes more smoothly and better for you? Like one of the things, like, for example, hearing you talk about the timeline now makes me think that maybe that's, like, because what I asked this year, different from last year, is I've asked students to submit suggested, you know, their original thinking.
So
you had to do draft
before.
Problems,
mm-hmm.
right? I said, you don't have to have anything fleshed out, just get your ideas together, what problems you're going to do. And was that helpful?
That got us somewhere. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have even done that.
Okay. We were able to build off those and decide, are we still going to go with this or not?
Right.
But at least we had somewhere to start instead of like, okay, we have a whole exercise book of questions we could kind of like emulate or
like
rework or whatever.
Like,
and did you keep all the same problems or did they change?
Yeah.
We kept most of them. I think we kept like four out of six or something.
Yeah.
Or like the ones we modified, they're minor. But okay. We kept it for the most part.
Okay, so for the most part it was kept. There may have been some modification.
Mm-hmm.
Now, based on what you just said, though, I'm thinking that I should have, like, after that, I should have students submit a timeline.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that would definitely be helpful.
That would work.
Yeah.
Either that or, like, saying that they need to set a final deadline for the whole thing and a deadline for the questions, because I think that's what messed us up the most, is that having to do the questions and the video editing. So if we would have had our questions done, like, way early in advance,
right.
We wouldn't have been worrying about them, like, throughout the whole entire project.
Okay.
So, like, if you say, okay, well, in 2 weeks have your questions finished, then they can devote the rest of the time to presentation and creativity and all that other stuff.
If you don't have any, like, checkpoints of achievements, no one will actually look at it and actually just leave it till the end. If you have checkpoints, they'll be like, oh, I missed the due date for this part, now I have to fit it in with all the other stuff I have to do. So if you have that, at least students won't be scrambling to do it last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Last minute is bad.
Very, very bad.
I've lost a lot of sleep over this project.
I lost a lot of sleep as well. 4 hours for the win.
Okay, so we're going to have draft problems, we're going to have students submitting a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm even thinking, like, in my head, I'm thinking it'd be good for students to see each other's timelines. Like, if we published somehow, maybe in a graphic or something, if each group kind of published their timelines on the blog, and then other people could see kind of how to structure it.
Yeah,
that'd probably be pretty good, especially if there's people who don't really know how to organize that kind of thing. Like, I'm kind of good at that stuff, so it was pretty easy for me to organize a timeline for us, but, like, I imagine there's people who aren't.
Right, and they can learn just by seeing how you did it. Oh, yeah, the last question, and really the last question, I'll just stop
after. The last question
the last of the
six
last questions. Right. What can I do? I can't stop once I get started.
Should have just made this whole episode.
I just, if I can get each of you, maybe just, and I'll start with you, Rich. What was the fact that this is being published online? Does that in any way impact the time, energy, or effort that you devoted to it? The fact that it was kind of open, that you, it could be anything you want, did that impact any way the amount of time and energy you devoted to it?
Lawrence?
let me break it down.
There's so much to handle, I was like...
Okay, I'll break it down. The fact that it's online, does that make a difference? That you have to publish it online?
Not really.
No? But about the open-endedness of it, did that make a difference for you? No?
Not really.
Okay. What about you,
Lauren? Well, the fact that it was online brought a lot of took off a lot of limitations. Because say if it's like a presentation you have to do in class, then it's only something that you show to a class. But if it's on the internet, you could pretty much do anything. You could do slides, you could do videos, you could do what we did and make it in an Xbox video. But it actually opens up a lot of space for creativity to what you can actually post.
So you like that?
Yeah.
You like that aspect?
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Justice?
I think that, it did have an effect on it because there's a much wider audience. And so, like, mostly, you can probably tell from all the inside jokes, I was trying to appeal to you.
Right.
Well, we were as a group trying to appeal to you and, like, our class's sense of humor. But at the same time, we had to make it quality for the broader audience as well. So we had to try and find a balance, and I think that helped. And in terms of, like, the open-endedness, I think that really, really helped. Because you didn't really have, in terms of how quality the whole entire thing was, you didn't have anyone to answer to except yourself.
Uh-huh.
So you didn't have to worry about any preset expectations about what had to be done.
Right.
Like, if you have an essay, it's not like it has to be 700 words or whatever.
Exactly.
Right. You can decide what is enough. And if it needs more later on, you can decide because it's so open, or if there's not enough openness for it. So I thought that helped a lot.
Well, guys, we'll stop there. That really was the last question. And I just wanted to say thanks. You guys did an awesome project, and anybody listening to this should go see it.
Yeah, no doubt.
What's the blog address again?
TeamLRJDEV.blogspot.com.
TeamLRJ.blogspot.com. Excellent. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
So there you have it. That was Richard Lawrence and Justice talking about all the different things that they got out of doing their Developing Expert Voices project, and reflecting a little bit about their experiences in class, taking pre-calculus this semester. In the show notes to this podcast here on the blog, I'm going to leave some links to their Developing Expert Voices project, and give it a look, give it a listen, and if you want to know what we were alluding to in terms of their conclusion, well, you can see it on their project, just follow the link. Also, take a look at the poster, which is the image that I've used as a graphic that I've included with the publication of this podcast. And let us know what you think in the comments to this post on the blog. Until next time, cheers. We'll be right back.